Well, anxiety, fear, and the gospel. We're actually going to get a couple sessions on this. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help. Well, Father, we take comfort in the truth that you know our frame. You know that we're dust. You know our frailties and our weaknesses. You know our susceptibility to all kinds of unholy fears, all kinds of unholy desires, all kinds of anxieties and worries, and because we're surrounded by a world that there's danger, the inevitability of loss, the absolute inevitability of pain. And we need your help making sense of that, being settled in your hands in the midst of that. And so we ask that you would equip us now, both in our own hearts and lives and in our ministry to others, to apply the gospel to every detail of this struggle. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you ladies struggle with anxiety? Great. Yeah, if not many hands went up, my next question was, how many of you struggle with self-awareness? And so, because if we're aware, if we're paying attention, then we realize, man, anxiety is real. Worry is real. That certain experiences of human life are just common to human life. And I like to think that there are four primary colors, if you will, of just heart-level human struggle, just heart-level inner life battle. One is unholy desire. Another is unholy fear. The third is unholy anger. And the fourth is unholy escapism. And if you learn to paint with those four colors, I mean, you can make every other color. You walk into Lowe's or Home Depot and you look at that paint wall of colors. How many are there? And every year, there's more. Well, they're all composed of four colors, which is astounding to think about. And so in many ways, unholy desire, unholy fear, unholy anger, unholy escapism are just four primary colors of just inner heart-level struggle that compose so much trouble, from just the daily nagging worries all the way down to schizophrenia, that they're ultimately composed of those. And there's a way in which the gospel is aiming at that heart-level struggle, that the process of sanctification is moving all of us from unholy desire to holy desire. Where Paul says, or David says, one thing I've asked, Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all my days, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Like David is being taught, that's my desire. And all of us are being moved from unholy fear to holy fear. Does God want no fear in your life? Or does he want one fear in your life? One dominating, consuming fear, reverence and awe that puts all the other fears to death. Does God want no anger in your life? Or just holy anger? And so he's in the process of moving us from unholy outrage to holy outrage. You know, Jesus is going to go into the temple in John 2 and see some things that are going to outrage him. His father's house turned into a den of thieves. A place was to be a house of prayer for the nations. It had become this place of swindling and worldliness. And what's interesting is no one else is bothered. No one else notices. The disciples are like, dude, what's gotten into this guy? Why aren't they angry? Because they're angry about other stuff that God doesn't care so much about. And so we're all in process of not being angry, but from unholy to holy. And same with escapism. Does the Lord not want you to escape? Or is there a way of escape that he provides? Is there a refuge, a strong tower, a fortress, somewhere he intends you to hide in the day of trouble? But do we have a way of enacting all kinds of false escapes of our own making? And so anxiety and fear and worry, it's connected to all this. And so one expression of unholy fear in our lives is anxiety and worry and fretfulness. And that's part of being human. It's just struggling with that. And if you don't struggle a whole lot with it today, just keep living. And you will. I can remember almost reaching a time where I was graduating from college and everything I owned, I loaded into my 1983 Ford Escort. Everything in the back seat. And if it all caught on fire and burned to the ground, I was out about $500, including the car. Like, that was my life's replacement cost. And that is not true anymore. Marriage, 5 kids, houses, cars, relationships, people. Like there's a lot of ways the devil can touch me. There's a lot of things this life can take. And so there's a way in which every day, every month, every year, there's a new struggle with anxiety. There's a new thing to lose. There's a new awareness of a new danger I didn't know existed. You know, you get older and you start realizing, oh, my body isn't amazing. I'm not invincible. This thing is going down, right? Yeah, I was picking up a stick years ago and made the mistake of sneezing. You know, threw my back out. Went to my knees. I was about 300 yards from our house. Had to crawl up the stairs, across the threshold, open the door. My kids are in there and they look, and my wife, and they thought I'd been shot. And they're like, what happened? I sneezed. You know? So when your kids start looking at you with pity, like, that's when you know, all right, this is not going up, this is going down. And so you're confronted with weakness, frailty, that there's danger. Well, Psalm 55, verse 3, where David says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. And so David felt anxiety. He felt the dread. You notice he's concerned for his safety, for his well-being. There's wicked enemies who seek to destroy his life. And so in his mind, they're the reason for his anxiety, this potential for serious harm, for real pain, even death. It's just pressed into his awareness. You ever been in a moment where you just missed an accident? And you get on the other side of it, you're like, wait a minute, did I almost die just then? And then what do you start feeling? Anxiety. Because, okay, there's something just got pushed into your mind that you didn't really think about before. And now, how do you approach the next intersection? Like, you're just looking around at everything. And so there's a way in which that can spiral. Like, if we're not careful, if God isn't right smack in the middle of that, that our flesh will take us somewhere. So death and pain are possible. Escape seems like the ideal solution, right? For David, it's like, if I could just be a bird. That says something. When you're looking up at the trees and you're looking at a bird going, man, I wish. That'd be great. Just to be able to fly away. And that's what he's feeling. And so the scripture speaks to anxiety and fear and dread and fretfulness and worry and terror. And just, we could go with so many words. on a very consistent basis, because people face it on a consistent basis. God's not saying all this because someday there might be someone